You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are back and doing it finally. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Two very quick things. Number one, let's address the Georgia shirt. It's from home field because they are a partner of mine. Number one, I wear whatever I want. It's not indicative of fandom as much as it is. I like it. So let's get that out of the way because I know what the YouTube comments in particular are going to be. This is the most comfortable thing I have ever worn, by the way. Secondly, apologies for not doing a Saturday as hoped. Still have not figured out my sinus/jaw situation. Still working on that. So there may be a delay on Wednesday as I have another doctor's appointment, but we will see. Anyway, let's get to it. We're going to do the Michigan mailbag today. So this one's going to go ham. Got cords in the way here for me. Let's go ahead and start with our leaders and best, starting with James Crudup at James Crudup 6. And remember, a lot of these were asked on Wednesday, so there's things have happened since then. But do you see the Harbaugh of the NFL song and dance happening again next year, even after he signs a new contract? Seems odd that he said he'll be back coaching in 2023 versus just committing to Michigan long term, especially with a new contract coming. I think it all depends on what the contract is that he ends up signing. I also think it depends heavily on just a bunch of other little things, like does he get what he wants as far as NIL and all of that kind of stuff? Because if he feels like he's behind the eight ball and Michigan's unwilling to modernize, that might clearly is good enough for this year, but it might not be good enough for future years. So I think that the likelihood of him going to the NFL will dwindle on a yearly basis. But at the same time, I don't think that you can necessarily say for sure, you can't write it in with pen, you can write him in with pencil, that he will be here for the foreseeable. But Michigan has to do its part, right? Because I just don't think Michigan's necessarily with the times in a lot of ways. Josh Barr at Jadicky, seems like we've had quite the exciting offseason so far, which makes me wonder, what is the most hectic offseason you have covered and what was the most memorable event from it? Honestly, it's this one. It's just been a constant. I think 2020 obviously was hectic, but in a different way. It wasn't hectic. It was really more just calm, but it was different. Maybe 2018, because you had things like, for one, I switched from 24/7 to USA Today. Secondly, you had Shea Patterson entering the fray. You had the whole Tim Drevno, Greg Fry stuff. But honestly, there hasn't been anything that's been like this in my recollection. Maybe 2019 a little bit, because Josh Gattis coming was like a huge deal, and it felt like everything was a huge deal. You know, Ben Mason switching to defensive tackle and all of that kind of stuff. Feel like we were all so young and naive then. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Will Michigan finally be the favorite to win the Big Ten? They were the favorite in 2019. That didn't work out very well, but I do think that they will probably be the favorite. Does it help in recruiting that they see all the talented returning senior players coming back to Michigan? I don't know that it does, because none of these guys are going to be there, but I think it's something that they can use as a recruiting piece. Look at, you know, these guys could have gone. They're staying, but they also could have the detriment of these guys weren't top end talent, right? As much as I think a running back would be foolish not to come to Michigan in a lot of ways, Michigan also hasn't produced like a top 3-round running back in forever. Chris Evans and Hassan Haskins both went in the later rounds, and those were the first ones to really go since Mike Hart. So Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1, are the new scoreboards up? I haven't driven by in a while, and I'm not in Ann Arbor anymore. So last I saw, they were just frames. probably won't be up until, I would imagine that's going to be a long several month scenario into the summer, maybe beyond. Which games are you looking forward to in 2023? Ohio State, Big Ten Championship, college football playoff. Aside from that, I don't know that there's one that, like, at Penn State's probably it. And that's going to be a hectic weekend for me because I have Metallica tickets for both days. So I'm kind of hoping that Penn State game does. I don't know that it can be flexed in the night because of the timing of it all, but I'm hoping that they find a way to at least make it like a 3:30 so I can just get up at 6 a.m. and drive. Those would really be the only ones. I mean, at Nebraska should be fun just for the sake of it. That's a fun venue. But I guess at Minnesota, just for the sake of that, will be my first time being there with fans and on the field instead of in the press box. Not looking forward to two back-to-back travel dates that require flights. That much is certain. Lots of flights this year. This past year, I flew to one regular season game. That was Rutgers. This year, I have to fly to three. Nebraska, Minnesota, and Maryland. It's kind of crazy. Maryland, I'll obviously also be excited about because I like going to Washington, D.C. That was a fun trip for me 2 years ago. Let's see, number three. Would you consider a playoff win and Big Ten championship a successful season? Yeah, I think so, because it's hard to win a national championship. If you can at least get a playoff win, I think, like, I would have considered, I still consider this season a successful season. Not as successful as you would hope, but I mean, it's a lot of people spent the entire year saying Michigan wasn't going to be any good because they lost Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo and they go back to the playoff. But lost a game it should have won. KRT at Farmer 84, is this the first season in the Harbaugh era that we haven't lost multiple assistant coaches pending Weiss, which Weiss is obviously gone? I think continuity is a good thing right now for this team. They didn't lose really any. And they lost one in 2016. And that was I can't remember his name now. That was the cornerbacks coach. And they, what they went ahead and did was they lost two, right? Because they plugged in Brian Smith and Chris Partridge. Or was Partridge the year after? Partridge might have, I can't remember exactly. I know that they brought in Brian Smith to replace him. I feel like I'm forgetting someone else. And then that's about it. Yeah, that's really the only year that it wasn't like a, you know, more than two to my recollection. Although in 2018, I mean, you really only lost Greg Fry and Tim Drevno. You already had Pep Hamilton around. You did some shifting defensively. Well, you also brought in Ed Warner, Sherrone Moore. So I guess there was a fair amount of shifting then. Finishing us out in segment one. Sorry, I can't do that. I can't open my mouth that wide. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. At Disneyland for the first time, favorite ride? It would be Guardians of the Galaxy, the retrofitted Tower of Terror. So that one, I rode it literally eight times. Twice on the first and third day, and four times on day two when I rope dropped California Adventure. Because I had a lightning lane for, or fast pass, whatever they call it now. I had that for 8:05. I rope dropped it, so I walked onto it, got off, did that again, went on it again with like a 40-minute wait later, and then had a ride exception from a lightning lane that wasn't open and went and rode it again later. So easily my favorite. I liked it better than Tower of Terror because you get the airtime and all of that stuff. All right, let's continue on. We have an insane amount more, but before we do, as a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people you have who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your old job post, or from your job post. I don't know why I said old there. The company and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates in LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all on one platform. You want to achieve your 2023 goals, you got to get the right team member, just like Michigan went out and got all of their transfers to help them achieve their 2023 goals. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, there was... I always stammer when doing these ad reads. If you were one who listened and got the ad read. If you want to know why I was laughing after it, is because part of my it's not a sickness. I am not sick. I just have some inflamed stuff going on in my face from the jaw up through my sinuses, and it just hurts to talk. And I was laughing because I kept on opening my mouth just a little too wide, and it just caused a searing pain all the way through my face. And it was just like remembering. So like I started then like trying to keep my mouth more closed, and then I was stammering and being a little bit mush mouth, which is why I was laughing through that. If you want to know the inside baseball for my own mind. All right, let's get to the leaders. And well, we did the Victor's Valiant. That's right. We did the, see, I haven't done one of these in like a week and a half, so I don't remember. Victor's Valiant, starting with Jim and Jim in the North. Should we start worrying about a JJ heir apparent? Well, that would either be, I mean, that would be whoever the 2024 guy probably is, unless Davis Warren ends up being the guy. And I wouldn't worry anyway, because if they don't feel like Davis Warren can be the guy to lead them, and they don't have a 2024 guy, and they, or they do, and they don't want to start a freshman, transfer portal is a thing. It is a different world. So no, you don't have to worry about necessarily getting homegrown talent. You know, if Michigan needed to go and get like a guy like this cycle, like a Spencer Sanders or a DJ Uiagalelei, they could have done it, right? So I'm not that concerned about that anymore the way I used to. How can we take the NCAA seriously? Texas A&M is doing pay to play. We had tampering with Worthy, and they mail us on email and burgers. You can't really take them that seriously. It's, I mean, they're not doing anything with the email. That's a completely separate matter. It's just the burgers, the receipt. It's more the obfuscation by Jim Harbaugh that they are upset about. And it is ridiculous because there are so many more blatant issues going on in college football. And for this to be the one thing that you're like, yeah, you know what, we're going to get after you. It's just a joke. It's an absolute joke. Do you really think Santa Ono wants to limit the independence of the athletic department? I don't think that he's doing that. I think he's trying to make it flourish in ways that it isn't at the moment. I think he's trying to push it into the 21st century. And then once it kind of is gotten the memo, I think it's going to shine. It's going to get better. Going to watch Mandalorian season 3. I mean, absolutely. That'll be probably be like a, you know, 3 a.m. I'll still probably be up because I have insomnia, and I'll end up watching it right away. That's, or I'll wake up first thing that Wednesday morning and watch it. But yeah, I am stoked for it. My really, really good friend, Mike Weiss at Canada_Mike, longtime listener, first time question asker. I know, man. I know. What is the ideal recruiting strategy for elite quarterbacks, and how had that changed since the transfer portal opened up? Well, kind of touched on that obviously a second ago. But I think that Michigan can feel comfortable putting all its eggs in one basket, knowing that if it strikes out, that there will be quality candidates from other schools looking for different opportunities. And we've seen that work other, you know, at certain places. I mean, heck, it worked at Michigan a little bit with Shea Patterson, maybe not to the degree that everyone thought it would. But you look at like Bo Nix at Oregon, Caleb Williams at USC. I know it's a little different because he followed his coach. But I think that you know, Justin Fields at Ohio State, it's becoming a more commonplace situation where you can get in a top end guy from another school. But obviously they got to clear admissions. And if they're not like a senior, then there has to be extenuating circumstances if they don't want to sacrifice a bunch of their credits, all that kind of stuff. But I keep in mind, Cade McNamara and JJ McCarthy, are really the first Harbaugh recruits to get, you know, a full season of starting essentially. So, I just don't think that it's that big of a deal. But as far as the circumstances changing, as far as how you recruit them, I don't think it's about the transfer portal as much as it is just showing the success that you have if you're Michigan. And I think the issue is when you're run heavy, even though Jaden Davis seems to like that, for instance, you really want to be able to show a guy how they can shine, because quarterbacks generally aren't, especially five stars, aren't going to go to schools where they're going to be a game manager. Now, JJ has been unleashed a little bit more and more, but and I'm sure he'll be that much more in this next year, but I think that's the big thing. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. I'm a Dallas fan as well as a Michigan fan. Jake Moody to Dallas confirmed. Please say yes. I feel like it's going to be a top of their list given what Marr looked like, I mean, even yesterday. So, Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. If Juwan misses the tournament this year, do you think his seat starts getting warm next season? I think it starts to, yes. Because I think that the record hasn't looked good. The development hasn't looked great. The last 2 years have not exactly lived up to the expectations that many have. The roster, while it has a lot of talent, is not built out very well. So, yeah, I think it is certainly feasible to say if he misses the tournament, it'll get warm. I don't think it's going to get hot. I think it would take another year of middling for it to get hot. All right, I'm going to keep going kind of quickly just because I don't have a lot of breath in me. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. I started to think about next year's starters and counted 14 players who should be drafted. That's good PR and all, but how much pressure would that be on the 2024 team if Michigan makes it to the playoff again this year? I don't think it's that necessarily a lot of pressure. I think it becomes the program expectation. You know, I don't think that, I think you're thinking through things in the lens of what Michigan has been kind of historically versus, like, I don't think Ohio State, for instance, goes into the season, no matter what the roster looks like, new quarterback, like, they're not going to go into this next year being like, well, hopefully we can live up to the team that ended up making it to the playoff the year ago and more. I think that they're thinking about, like, this is the expectation. I came to Ohio State with this expectation. And I think now Michigan, especially if it makes it again, you know, one, like I've said before, you know, one is an anomaly, two is a trend, three is just that is who you are, right? Think of Oklahoma as being a school that always goes to the college football playoff but loses in the first round. That is who they are. If Michigan goes again, then it's, especially if it wins another round, then it's climbing still. If it goes and loses again, that just maybe is who they are. And I think that that would be the expectation. I don't think it's a pressure situation as much as that suddenly becomes just what your program's expectations are. And that's why when you go like 10-2 as Clemson, it's disappointing. Let's see. James Kovaleski at coach_Kovo. I say his name different every single time. I'm familiar with the pool of potential hires when a head coach or coordinator is relieved of duties, but not as much for ADs. Michigan chose to go in a different direction. Any ideas on the timeline and who would be considered, who would be in charge in the interim? I'm not even going to speculate on that. I don't even know either, but at the same time, I don't think Ward Manuel is going anywhere, and I don't think that even though the statement and all of that was a slap in the face and certainly has to be embarrassing for him, I think it's just that. I don't think it's a, you know, and you lock the door on your way out or anything like that. All that would be figured out, right? Like, I don't think there's necessarily an obvious path when it comes to ADs. I mean, you'll see different people campaigning for jobs from all over the place. I mean, I was, what was it? It was like a, didn't get hired by Auburn, but it was a TV exec from Fox was lobbying for the job, right? You could see politicians lobbying for the job. You could see, you know, we saw Jim Hackett, a CEO, be the interim guy. So, like, it's not an obvious situation always. I could see, though, if Michigan was to go in a different direction, maybe going for, I can't remember his name, but the guy that Santa Ono had at Cincinnati. I could see him going that route. I could see him wanting to go for a Michigan-type guy with experience like Jeff Long. But I don't necessarily, I don't think Board's going anywhere. I know I've got about six other questions that ask that, so we'll kind of give honorable mentions, but all of that later. Michigan's armchair quarterback at @armchairqb_UM. Does Michigan actually hire a new OC or just promote Sherrone Moore and get another position coach? I think it's probably the latter. I don't think they're going to get another co-OC unless they really swing for the fences, but I think that you just promote Sherrone Moore and get a quarterback's coach. That would be what I would do if I was them. Now the holidays are over and college football is finished. Can we trust Blue Baron Photo? That's Patrick Barron. No, we cannot. He is untrustworthy. Jacob Heminger at Heminger Jacob. Is the Matt Weiss situation because he clicked the link to claim his $100 million from the Arabian princess? That's funny. Or Nigerian. I'm surprised you didn't go Nigerian prince. That's the more notable one. Jacob Shavaria at Shavaria. What is your preseason top four? Well, I would say the team I'm wearing right now would be number one, Georgia, even though I think there's questions given that they lose. Anytime you lose a starting quarterback, and you know, unless you have some, like, I thought Michigan would take a step forward with JJ. I didn't think JJ would be the starting quarterback this year anyway, but when you have go from like a middling four star to a, you know, five star, yeah, you expect something more, especially when you've seen some of that talent. Otherwise, unless you have Trevor Lawrence back there, usually I expect kind of a step back. And I know people are excited about what Georgia's got, but I think that that's I think we got to see it. They still are the most talented team in college football. Number two, Michigan. That one would be obvious. And then after that, I have a hard time because I want to put Ohio State at three, but I don't know if Kyle McCord, like, I feel like Kyle McCord will be really helped out by what he's got. You know, I'll put Ohio State at three because Kyle McCord will be helped out by his receivers. But I mean, the line, I think, is going to get worse. On the offensive side, I think that they're going to be about the same on defense. And their schedule, I mean, they got Notre Dame on the schedule at Notre Dame. They play at Wisconsin. I mean, could they lose a game before Michigan? Sure. Do I think they will? Probably not. And then number four, I'll go LSU. I think their quarterback situation is really good. Brian Kelly has got a track record of being a pretty good head coach. He's got a lot more talent than he had. I think that they'll probably, because I think Alabama has a lot of questions. We'll see what Tennessee looks like with Joe Milton leading the charge. USC, I would put there if their defense was better, but I just don't, like, I think their offense is great, but, and, you know, obviously, they bring back Caleb Williams, but yeah, that would be, so those four would be my top four. Could see Utah being a team right there. Utah, Penn State would probably actually be my top, six in there. All right. Continuing on, Anton Sismita Mangala at Sismita Mangala. Who's your least favorite sports talking head, and why is it Paul Feinbaum? Actually, I don't know that it is Paul Feinbaum. I don't know who it would be at this juncture, partially because I don't watch a lot of non-podcasts. I don't watch ESPN unless there's a game on, generally. It would have been Doug Gottlieb for the longest time. I've never really been a big fan of his. And it seems like a lot of the people that I maybe had problems with at one time or another, are usually less talking heads and more like, you know, maybe someone you would see on like game day or a color commentator. And I've met a lot of them and my stance have changed on some of them. I'm not going to name names because that's just not fair. But Doug Gottlieb's the only one that really irks me a lot. I feel like Paul Feinbaum is a shtick. I kind of enjoy him sometimes when I see him. But there's no one that really sticks out to me there. Zan at Zanland. Bruce Feldman, a guy given access to the program, Nicole Auerbach, a U of M alum, claimed that sources told them Harbaugh would go pro with CIA qualifiers. I believe it was Austin Meek and Nicole Auerbach, not Bruce Feldman. They were wrong. We'll never get the apology we deserve for the chaos they unleashed, but are we wrong to call them out for it? I think you're putting too much stock into it, because I'm sure that they were told that by someone in the Harbaugh camp, because he hired an agent this time. And I think they were probably told that yeah, go put that out there in order to get leverage. It's one thing that you have to remember in sports or any kind of reporting. Sometimes things might either be true. Like, I have been told things by, I'll burn some names here. I was told multiple times things directly from Josh Gattis that blew up in my face. And sometimes it's because things changed. Actually, I think every time with him, it's because things changed. You know, it doesn't always, they evolve. And certainly, like, I remember once being told by another staffer that, you know, they didn't think they were going to get a recruit only to get him 2 days later. And they said that they were obfuscating on purpose because they wanted it to be a big surprise. But that made me trust them less, of course. So, I mean, I've been told by players' parents things that ended up not changing. I don't think that, I think they were doing their jobs, and I think they were probably told that by someone in the Jim Harbaugh camp, and they got burned, because sometimes that's what staffers and coaches do. They use the media to get their message out the way they want it to, not even caring how it affects our jobs and how we look to y'all. And then there are some times where people just got bad sources. But remember all the times that I've been on this podcast and I've said someone that you would that you all know that you would really trust, if they told you this, told me this, that's an example of some of that, right? Adam Kasel, finishing us out at Adam_Kasel. Why do you think, who do you think will be the leaders on defensive line like Morris and Smith were? I think Jalen Harrell for sure. I think he really took to heart a lot of the things that Mike Morris and Mozzie Smith did. This is where I'm sad about Mozzie leaving, because I feel like Mozzie learned a lot of those lessons. I've had a lot of really good conversations with Iabi. I think I said that wrong. Iabi Oki. And who just committed to Charlotte, no surprise, but I think he was really growing up before our eyes. But I think that you can see the maturity from a guy like Jalen Harrell, and Chris Jenkins would be the obvious other one. The other guys are kind of young, but those would be the two that I would really look to. Who will be the other starting cornerback? I think that they're trying to get after someone in the transfer portal. I would bank on Jaden McBurrows at the moment. Does the basketball team make the NCAA tournament? I'm going to say no, because I just don't see a lot of redeeming qualities for this team. It just does not seem like a team that has its ish together. And it doesn't seem like a team that is just suddenly going to figure itself out. It just seems very disparate. So, they could. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm not feeling it this year. All right, we're gonna continue on here in just a moment. All right, we've got the best of the rest. We're already at 30 minutes, so we're gonna try to speed roll through these, especially because of, like I said, it's difficult to talk in multiple ways. So, Shane at Seamus 0914 with corner depth. Seeming to be a concern, do you think Minter will use more safeties and drop Rod Moore or one of the younger guys to nickel and kick Sainer still to out wide at cornerback two? I think it's possible, and certainly he wants to focus more on technique, and I think that he certainly has the ability to do it, so it is possible. I'm sure they'll play around with that idea. And then you can have Sainer still and then the three safeties that they already like out there. I don't even know what this username is, but Echo Blue from Texas 77. Thoughts on Edwards lining up at slot wide receiver on occasion, allowing him and Corwin to be on the field at the same time. I've long said that I'm for it. YVO at underscore YVO. Is Harbaugh just kicking the tires with Dylan Raiola, or will Michigan make a real push? I think they'll try to make a real push. We'll just see if it actually happens. Scott Jones at Scott O 48706. Is Michigan done for the year with the transfer portal? I would imagine they're still going to try to get a couple more guys at a couple positions, but we will see. It's kind of been picked over for the most part at this point. Joe Harper at Tom's. But let me back it up, keeping in mind that things will open up in spring again. Joe Harper at Tom's friend Joe. Would Pontiac's Rebellion have been successful? Okay, I don't. This is a state of Michigan question. They clearly. I'm just going to skip over that. Well, I'm going to read it because it's funny. Would Pontiac's Rebellion have been successful with light French support and tighter pre-raid information security? If so, what would be the geopolitical implications have been for Fort Pontchartrain, Detroit, and its surrounding territory? And I'm going to add Patrick Barron's favorite line, and what does that have to do with Michigan, or how does that help Michigan's recruiting? Mitch at Michigan Mitch 08. Does Blake Corum coming back hurt Donovan Edwards' potential draft stock? No, I don't think so. I think that the modern college football guys get about 15 carries a game. I'm sure they'll both get 20-ish. Also, with all this news of Harbaugh flirting with the NFL, Weiss being under investigation and tension between Ward and Harbaugh, has that hurt recruiting and transfers? Not to this point, I don't believe it has. Kirby Keim at KNJ Keim. If Weiss is let go, which he has been since this, does Jay Harbaugh move over? Seems to be one of the few positions he hasn't coached yet, or possibly Joe Brady. Joe Brady would be someone on my wish list. We talked about him on Friday, but we talked about the Jay Harbaugh potentially moving over. I think it's possible. I don't know if it's probable yet. I think it is possible, though. Clark at Blue Life 8. Even if Weiss comes out of the situation somewhat clean and is kept on staff, which obviously he wasn't, is it fair to assume that his recruiting goes downhill pretty severely just because the story has become a national topic? Well, we already know the answer to that. Kyle B at KB Go Blue. Who all is entering the 2023 NFL draft? So you got Mozzie Smith, Mike Morris, Jamon Green, DJ Turner, Ryan Hayes, Oluwatimi, Luke Schoonmaker, Ronnie Bell. Think that covers it? Jake Moody, Brad Robbins. Think that covers it. All right, Jeff Fitzgerald at J_Macaha_Fitz. Why only statement is Harbaugh returning for 2023 and no statement that refers to long term? I covered that a little bit earlier. I just think that he's going to continue to. I think he also learned that he can use these things as leverage. We'll find more out. We'll see if we can find out more about that. Don at Don MTU 83. Last summer, many thought the wide receivers were going to be the best group going into the season. I was one of them and was wrong. Any concerns everyone is overrating another position in 2023? The only potential one I would say is the offensive line, even though you got three guys coming back, you're only as strong as your weakest link on the offensive line. Granted, I think there's no weak links, and I think if there were, they'll be swapped out quickly. But people had concerns about the offensive line early in the season this year, so getting more new guys acclimated, I think there's a possibility that we're kind of looking at them as a Joe Moore three-peat when maybe it's not going to be that. But I doubt it, put it that way. BL33215 at the same name. Will the skill group be even better next year? I mean, they should be. Returns almost everybody. B. Blake at Other Ways Stupid. What advice would you have for someone attending their first game at the Big House? Get there early. Don't miss all the warm-ups. Don't miss the pomp and circumstance. As a student, I don't think I ever saw entry cadence until my last game there. And just try to make a day of it. Try to do as much as you can to make a day of it. Whether if it's a night game, go out and do some stuff. Whether it's tailgating, go out on the town. If it's a noon game, go out on the town afterwards. It's just a good experience. I don't know what else to, because I don't remember what it's like to be a fan anymore and sit in the stands. It's been 9 years since I've sat in the stands. Original Farm Boy 1 at Original Farm Boy 1. How is Harbaugh going to keep Corum and Edwards happy with playing time? I think that they'll be fine regardless of how it's handled. unless one just gets, you know, doesn't play. J.J. Brewer at J.J. Brewer 19. If Michigan plays as well as they did last year, will the experience in the coaching staff help their chances in the playoffs? I thought it would have helped them last year, and it didn't, so only time will tell on that, but it didn't help them this last year. We'll see if it helps them this next year. C.J. Johnston at Fisher C.J. 14. When you look at next year's roster, do you think Michigan will be able to end up with 13-plus wins again, despite the road games being much tougher? Yes, and I don't think the road games are necessarily much tougher. The Minnesota one is. But I think it's more like 2021 was rather than 2022. And I think that they have a lot more skill. I like this team that they're going to have in 2023 better than what they had in 2021. Let me put it in that way. Brett Beyer at Brett Beyer 6 for the NCAA violations that may drop. What's the worst case scenario, best case scenario, and more likely scenario what the violations are and the penalties that come with them? Worst case would be show cause, lack of institutional control, Harbaugh suspended for half a season. Best case scenario is literally nothing. And what's likely to happen is probably just like a 2-game suspension for Jim Harbaugh. LOL at Tony Sopahaha. QB coach candidates if Weiss is guilty and gets fired. Well, he did get fired, but I kind of ran through those on Friday. Kirk Campbell would be one. I think that would be one of the main ones. I know that they talked to Brian Griese. I don't think that's going to happen personally. Also don't want personally. Jimmy Doherty would be high on my list. Apparently the wide receivers coach from Baltimore is someone that they're looking at. And that would be the probably the main ones. Jacob Gray at Jacob G 1118. Will we get Jaden Davis? I think they still trend for him. But the longer he doesn't commit, the worse it looks. I'll always remember Laquan Treadwell, you know. Gary Klein at Klein Gary. Any chance Michigan tries to get AD Mitchell? I don't know who that is, but I don't think that you're going to be seeing an AD change, at least right now. And Sean at Great White 85. Michigan going to get hit with lack of institutional control for all of these problems? I highly doubt it. All right. If I would have spent time answering all of those, it would have been, this would be a 50-minute episode. I would have like spent my normal time. Anyway, thank you for bearing with me, literally. And thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday. We will have another mailbag this week. And whether it's Thursday or Friday will remain to be seen. But yeah, we will talk to you again soon. Peace.